You are now listening to No Dumb Idea.
Dumb idea. Let me see. Left, down, spin, frick. Dala, can you help me out with this? I keep forgetting, what the combo is. Yeah, I can't get the jump combo to get over this gap. Is it like dash, left, jump?
I think you want to like stub your toe. In between the buttons. I think that's the part you're probably missing.
Okay.
Stub.
Stub my toe. What else? I know there's something else that's in there. Gibble thing. Do you know?
Yeah, so, I think we should definitely try plugging in the controller first. That might help things out.
That
makes sense. There we go.
See, my older sibling taught me how to play this game, and that's how they always told me how to play it. So,
classic.
That was,
nice. Makes sense.
I guess when I'm player one, I should be controller in. I guess that's how that works. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I'm one step closer to them leaderboards, baby. One step closer. The first step's the biggest step.
Oh, no, yeah. I will say, it is wild when you would win a match with your brothers.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, that's so true.
When you got good enough to win somehow.
Oh, for me and my sisters, it was Mario Kart. That was the big one where as soon as you were able to beat like them and our cousins were also competitive at it, the original N64 one. It caused fights.
Yeah.
Anyways, look...
Yeah.
Welcome back to No Dumb Idea. I'm Gym Leader Nate, and join my two lovely co-hosts.
Mm-hmm. Tired Dala.
And
tired Dala.
Sleepy Gibble Thing.
Late night with
Sleepy Gibbs. No Dumb Idea at night. That's right. We're bringing you late at night talks. And what do people late at night love to be doing? Why are people up all night when they shouldn't be? They're playing video games. They're playing games.
Okay. We know already.
Why have I stayed up multiple times this week when I really shouldn't have? I was playing Donkey Kong Bonanza.
Wow.
It's just, it be the games. So we're going to talk about games, and specifically, I want to go through because back when we, during another episode, I brought up during our hot takes episode.
Oh, yeah.
I brought up shooters, and I felt like while we were talking about it, it felt like there was a lot more ground to cover when it comes to looking at different kinds of games and genres of games. And really what stands out and what has always been memorable about those genres to us. And so, without further ado, I feel like right away I wanna jump back in and talk about shooters again.
Your favorite genre?
My favorite genre, notably my my bread and butter.
Oh, totally. I think when we did the Mount Rushmore episode, you said, and we had video game genres, you said shooters four times.
Oh yeah, yep. Shooters. Yep, yeah. That's all that's on.
You like third person, first person, top down. And just the general, get some variety in that.
That's true. You still need some variety within your shooter. You know, sci-fi shooter, cowboy shooter.
No, that's a rare one, but it's a good one.
I mean, it's like, anyways.
Yeah, is that where should we begin?
For me, a big one at the beginning of me playing a shooting game was GoldenEye for the N64.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, I think Gibbledang won't relate to this as much because I think Gibbledang was not a Nintendo household in the early days.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, we didn't really have a, whatchamacallit, N64.
The Nintendos?
Yeah, the Nintendo.
But we got, we had the,
Nintendo Suite.
We had, Game Boys. We were a big Game Boy household, but not, consoles.
Yeah, so it's like, that was, the multiplayer on GoldenEye was the, a big one for me.
Yeah. Same.
To me, it was such a fun experience. So silly. God, back when you could have a game where it's like, oh yeah, this is a spy game. This is like as realistic as we can get it right now. And like, it's bloody and there's shooting. But you can make them have bobbleheads if you want to. Like, I miss mode, that. Yeah. I miss those types of things in video games where it's just like the whole entire game. Like, Metal Gear Solid does this beautifully. Where like everything is completely serious, and then like you can unlock some crazy silly mode where all of a sudden like people are like stuffed animals or some shit. There's
a remake coming out soon, right?
It already is out.
Snake Eater is out. Yeah,
I saw a clip of
pretty
this
good.
Guy walking up to Snake in disguise, and he's just like, "Hey, how are you?" And then he just grabs his dick. He's like, "You're not Snake, or you're not somebody." Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I gotta find it. It looks crazy.
Yeah. I'm like, that does not. Yeah, Snake Eater is good. I was like, to go back to GoldenEye real quick, though, it's wild that the online component of GoldenEye, or not online, multiplayer, I mean, was like a last minute addition. Like, that wasn't even supposed to be in it. And it was one of those things that was like added by I think the game developers like just put it in like the last minute because they were like, oh, we kind of find it fun, and it blew up. And that's kind of where modern day multiplayer like game in general probably, at least for shooters.
It changed the world.
Like without that game. Yeah, and that's the first game to have headshots. Like that's where like different parts of the body got shot and different damage values were given per where you're shot. So
is that real? Is that for real?
Yeah. Yep, it's the first. You could do headshots in that game.
That's the first one.
Unless there's some like stupid DOS thing that like no one knows about. But like before that, Doom, you just aim in the general direction, and like there's like a ray casting. We'll see. Is there an enemy in the direction you hit?
I think it was first game with Rumble feature too.
The headshot system is so funny, being able to like walk like breeze through that game because you can just walk up like to the guards and just bang bang and just drop them both. Like the aiming system is like really easy to just kind of like intuit, like so that it just auto aims.
You aim up a little like with the C stick and then you're just walk around and just get close enough and bam bam, bam.
Yep, boom boom, done. Now Gibbledang.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Gibbledang, what was, like, the first shooting-type game you dug your teeth into?
Probably a Black Ops, honestly. Or Call of Duty. Yeah, I would play, the online multiplayer stuff with my friends after high school. And, I think my favorite out of all of those, and the main reason that I played through all of those games was for the zombies, so that was always my bread and butter. But shooter, like I never even played any of the other like type like Modern Warfare or any of the other Call of Duties. Halo, I played them for like to be social with my friends, but I never really liked. I don't know, it was like too clunky for me.
Sure.
Interesting. I'm like, I don't know. It's so interesting because I feel like it's so. That's the next step right after GoldenEye of like what led to game.
Yeah, and then not like? Gears of War.
Gears of War. You hate that.
I admittedly, when that was popular, I didn't have an Xbox and I had to play on friends. But when I would play at friends' houses, I was always like, this isn't fun. Like, I don't know. I was not having a good time. It was probably a skill issue too. But yeah, Gears of War was. I agree. That was never it for me. Halo, I did not get into Halo, like, online until Halo 3, until Reach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a game I played to be social. Like, whenever my friends wanted to play, I would play, but it wasn't necessarily a game that I would play on my own. I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna beat Halo and play through the campaign. Like, nah.
Yeah.
I miss those are so good. Yeah,
those are like, it's funny because those games were like, those were like winter break games for me. Mm-hmm. Like the like a new Halo game or like a new Assassin's Creed game back in the day when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. Like that is always what Christmas I remember them new. As is like those are the game I try to, they're Christmas new. You try to beat the mm-hmm. whole thing before school starts again. That way you don't have to be interrupted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Halo games like especially are just like so nostalgic for me because like I mean they were big growing up and I feel like the big thing was like Halo would come out, you get it day one, you beat it that night, like you stay up all night with your friends to, you yeah. know, co-op, and then you I play a bunch of multiplayer.
Yeah,
it's and I think that's like a big part of the nostalgia. And again, it's like one of the first, it's funny because it's like I was saying, like GoldenEye I think was like walked so Halo could run so we can get to where shooters are now for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's,
where did we go wrong?
And it, where did we go wrong? Monetization.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's
Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike proving that you can create an entire marketplace around yeah. collectibles within a shooting game.
Yeah.
Entire economy.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's probably where it went wrong, personally.
Yeah. Yeah. So then the real question is, 2025, right now,
mm-hmm.
everything available, anything you play, what is your favorite shooter? Like, if you were to sit down and play a shooter right now, what would it be?
A shooter. You know, specifically, I only really play shooters for zombies. I think it would be like Call of Duty 4.
Are you counting Resident Evils in this too?
No, that's not a shooter.
I'm going to say no. You just have access to guns in the game. It's not really a shooter.
There are shooter Resident Evil, though, shooter games too. But those ones are usually bad.
Yeah.
I'd say shooters, for the most part, are games where the gun combat is the major focus and optimization of the game.
First person shooter, I assume. Because literally everything we talked about was like either first person or over the shoulder.
Yeah, it's mostly first, but some of
them. Yeah, we're not going to talk about Gradius or R-Type
but
here.
Damn. I don't know what that is. But yeah, mm-hmm. probably probably Black Ops 4.
Nice. How about you, Della?
I mean, honestly, it's tough to pick. Like, I probably said the most recent shooter FPS that I loved is Doom Eternal. It's like one of the only other games like that, and Doom 2016, like the newer ones at least, that like uh-huh. the newest stuff that I've played. Fun enough, like the other day they released, I've been playing a lot of older ones, like they released a bundle of Hexen and Heretic, which is a Doom clone from the 90s, but you have your wizards and barbarians and like you shoot magic and you have staff, like it's literally I mean, you That's might cool. like it, or I don't know, it's literally a Doom clone, but I think Heretic is the second one, and that one you get to choose like from like three classes that have like some slight variation. It's fun, it's cool.
Is that your pick?
No, but I'm saying like I play more old shit now still. That's why I'm like, yeah, sorry, like it's getting side tangent, but like
no, you're good.
That's why Doom Eternal would probably be my go-to. A second runner-up, maybe one of the Ratchet and Clank games, if those count. Ooh. But I don't know. They're kind of platformer shooters. I don't know.
Dude, Ratchet and Clank count when they do center around making new guns.
It's literally about you upgrade your gun. But it's also like half platformer.
I feel so like that's an action-adventure game.
Yeah, adventure/platformer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So then, yeah, I'll do Doom.
That's an interesting cross, though.
It's Doom. Like, that's all, I mean, like, it's probably all relative, really, but yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess tell me if I'm wrong, which I am.
No, I think you're right.
It is. I mean, obviously, correct me if I'm wrong, essentially.
I would say, for me, it's gonna have to... I'm curious. This is weird. Honestly, it would still probably be just, like, Overwatch. If I were to really want to just sit down and play something real quick, something that I know I'll have some fun in. Overwatch, it, you know, people whine about it all the time, like, but mostly that's people who are Overwatch, like, fans, like, who are super into it, who are now, like, super upset. But, like, as a pure casual player, you're still like, a fun game to boot up. Yeah, if I'm going to play still a fun game to boot up.
My mentality with, like, shooters is, like, they're arcade games, just they might have a story or, like, you know, component. Like, they're
Overwatch, you don't got to worry about a story at all. Because they didn't make one. They made the second game and just forgot.
They just figured, why pay money for that? Or, like, why put money and time in that?
They're like, we can ship it. We know they'll still buy it.
Yeah, they'll pay double for the same game they've already have, essentially.
Yep. Although, if you had Overwatch, did I have to buy Overwatch 2?
Yeah.
Check your credit card? No, no. Or your bank statements.
Because if you, Overwatch became like free eventually.
Yeah. I'm more of a Battleborn guy myself, so.
And I bought it for $60. And so they made it so that because Overwatch 1 became a free to play game, like if you bought Overwatch 1, you upgraded it to Overwatch 2. That's what I did.
Also, I just remembered Titanfall 2 exists, so I'll make that my number 2.
Ooh.
Cuz that one so good. That one I love playing online too. So at the time, so good.
Respawn. Make up their pretty good developers.
Yeah, they get short end of the stick every time, but shafted often. But whatever.
Pretty much every time.
Yeah.
All right, so we briefly touched on it, but now I mean, platformers. Love to talk about platformers, especially because I'm playing one right now and playing Donkey Kong Bonanza, and it's fantastic.
Hell yeah.
Like, ooh and banana, let me tell you.
Ooh woo and banana.
Ooh woo banana. Yeah, they took everything they did good about Odyssey and were like, well, why don't we just put that, all those same type of great things about Odyssey platforming into Donkey Kong, only the added feature is you can destroy the whole world.
Yeah, that's so funny.
So you can just break everything. It's when I first started playing, it took me so long to start actually doing the story because I was just smashing stuff for hours. Yeah. And then eventually I got bored with smashing and I started doing the actual story. But I still get caught in it sometimes. And the game rewards you. So it's like you'll see a giant mound of weird material. And you're like, I wonder what's in the middle of that. And you hollow the thing out and you find more bananas in the inside. And you're like, okay, so
nice.
So this is going to pay off, so I'm going to do this all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's a big, like, platformer for you?
Definitely Mega Man X. That's got to be my go-to. I mean, just the scaling, the actual combat, you know, finding secret stuff. It's just so, it hits all the perfect notches, that one, and then I believe it's X4 as well. In that one you can unlock Zero, or you could just start as Zero right off the bat. But yeah, those I think between Mega Man X and Mega Man 4 or 5, it's just exponential growth. Like, they just get better and better. After that, like, that's great for a single player experience. I think the best thing for multiplayer is, you know, like, I get Mario is classic, but I've always been a Rayman Legends, Rayman Origins, insane. Or the Lego games, I guess those are kind of platformers too. Not really. They're adventure games. They're not platformers.
Puzzle, yeah, more puzzle.
Not
much right?
jump. Not enough jumping, probably.
But yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Rayman and Mega Man. Mega Man X.
God, they need to put Rayman in Smash Brothers so bad.
I remember a developer interview where he accidentally said Rayman instead of Pac-Man, and everyone went crazy. Myself included.
Interesting. It's a weird mistake, but
yeah, that's a rough mistake.
Not really, Rayman, Pac-Man.
Big difference.
Sure.
What about you?
For me, yeah, as I say, I grew up with the Donkey Kong Country trilogy, the original.
Banana.
Still my favorite banana. Game ever. I think it's just like that. Like, it's just beautifully animated in a weird, like, associated. Pre-rendered. Mm. Like, I don't know. I always found it really, really pretty. It really made me wonder, like, with a lot of creation, or a lot of creative art stuff. Like, with Donkey Kong Country, because of the pre-rendered part. Sorry, I'm, like, rambling because I'm tired, but I have, because of the pre-rendered nature of it, it would always make me wonder, like, in the background, like, what's beyond those trees, or like, what's there, or like, there's like a whole, like, a cave or something, like, in the background,
right?
And just kind of like how the map looked too. I mean, you know, Mario has maps as well, like overworld map, but the map did seem cohesive with like the type of level too, so it always made it feel like it was super fleshed out and like the world felt lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And then just game design wise, I like really learned, not that I do games, but just in general, it's like, oh, it really taught me a lot of like stuff, even with like structure, like story structure, or like, which is art, where Donkey Kong Country, what I love, and I feel like other platformers do it, but it's DKC in series really is what made me recognize that, oh, when you're teaching a mechanic, you set the player up in a situation where they can do like, they can learn the mechanic without dying. And then you introduce, okay, now there's pits, so you could die, but, you know. And then here's that mechanic, like, later in that level, like, to the most extreme, you know, and it, like, builds off. And I love, and, like, there's, like...
It had good intuitive learning.
I think there's DKC2, there's, like, the woodsy area where the mechanic is, there's a wind that can make you jump further or also impede your jumping because it's going with or without you, you know?
Right.
And it... You know, at first it's like it fluctuates left and it fluctuates right, and so you have to just, and like you need it to jump to make like a higher jump. Mm-hmm. So, but like if you don't make it, you just land in like a little pit and then you just jump back out. And so it's like, okay, you know, you get the flow of that. And then it's like, now here's with barrels, and then here's like the wind. You know, it's just, I loved the, like the way that it did that. And it just really teaches the player, and it's like, what you do is like it taught me like kind of like these beats and like with any story or creativity kind of in general.
I feel like that's very unique to like platformers, where how they teach you like the mechanics of each level and each new challenge is a huge marker of like good platformer games. How they handle teaching you. Because that was like that was one of my biggest gripes with Yooka and Laylee when I tried to play that game, is like it just kind of gives you a mechanic and then it says, go try and use it places, see what happens. It's like
it's counting on you.
And none of it felt very
counting good. On you having already and played like, the Banjo-Kazooie games, that's one.
Yeah, and even then it's even like then, I haven't played Banjo-Kazooie for like decades, so I went to play this and I was like, what is going on?
I will say, I think a big component too is with DKC, it's a 2D platformer. There's not too many buttons. Like, you're gonna hit all the buttons and figure it out. There's no like where like nowadays. You remember those like that era of like Xbox and PS3 when they were like, here's your like your controller input, and it would just be like a loading screen, and it's like A's jump, B's like it would point to where everything, and it's like, the fuck, there's so much shit here. I have to like learn all this, like where it's like a platformer. You're just like Mega Man, like, you know, you just start running and you're like, oh, this button shoots, okay. Oh, I can't climb this wall. Oh, I hit the like wall and I start sliding. Oh, what if happens if I do that and I jump? Oh, I can wall climb. You know, it's like you can like figure shit out if you're like, I don't know, like just by trial and error, where like now there's too many buttons, 3D, there's too much things. You need tutorials a lot of the times.
Yeah, you know what it is for me? You know, a platformer takes the cake if I really want to sit down and play one. This time, N64 is what I would sit down and play. It's not just a reminiscent one. Straight up, Kirby Crystal Shards for the N64.
All great those Kirby games are great.
Yeah.
Early Kirby, Fire. If you haven't played it, I highly recommend on a emulator or something, giving one of those a try.
Yeah,
but
that one, I loved the combo ability, like
combining two different elements to like make new forms. Genius.
So smart. Yeah.
Inspired. Their mind. It's came
back. What platform?
They haven't used it.
What was it on?
No.
Oh, this is N64 again.
I see. Classic.
Yeah. I will say that because Kirby does that a lot, where it will do, here's the mechanic of this game, and then you'll never see that mechanic again, which is fine, but it's just like, oh man, that was fun, you know?
You mean he's not made of yarn anymore?
No.
Unfortunately. Yoshi was for a minute, but...
Yeah, it keeps happening.
It's
like an illness.
The disease, yeah.
The plague, the yarn plague.
Kirby gave it to Yoshi.
Yarn vid. Yeah. True.
Yeah, and then when he sucked it him out, up. He got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then he gave it to Marcus Fenix, funny enough.
Oh.
Just kidding. Yard of War.
So, next one I think we should talk about is going to be... I was thinking about this for a while, and I think horror games should be just its own dedicated genre, even though there's lots of, like, play styles to horror
dedicated
games.
Dedicated Wham.
Yeah, there's but it should have its own dedicated Wham.
It's fair.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's going to include a lot of things, you know, choice making games, shooting games,
sure, walking simulators,
yeah. So what do you think,
point and click,
when it comes to horror? I think that's a good question too. It's like, I know, I have a feeling that Gibble Day is going to go in the Silent Hill direction here, or Resident Evil. But like, what makes horror games for you, especially as two people who have seen a lot of horror movies, like, what makes a horror game for you, like, really vibe, and like, what kind of style playing is like, what is it that hits?
So Resident Evil 2 definitely is my favorite horror game for sure. And the first one's great as well, but yeah, I think the resource management, the tone, atmosphere, the mystery of it all as well, like, how come this is all going down, suspense, you know, I feel like I've come to the realization too that I feel more scared playing games than I do watching movies now, and I think it's just the level being able to feel the tension and kind of putting yourself in the place of the character you're playing as or whatever. I think it might be the resource management that really does it for me, that makes it just the stakes feel much more higher.
Yeah, when I was playing Resident Evil 2 with you, you were pointing out how much, like, how valuable these things that we, like, picked up were, because of just, like, they don't put, it's not like a Mario game where it's just everything's covered in pickup items, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you gotta utilize what you get, because you're gonna need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or get good and you can dodge everything.
Same thing with Silent Hill 2.
I mean, that, isn't that all games?
Playing that one right now.
Was that?
Silent Hill 2.
That's good.
Oh, I just said, isn't that all games?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
get good. True, true. You don't need potions.
You don't need nothing. Yeah, true.
For me, I'm gonna go next this time, Dala. Got you.
Damn.
I'm gonna say, I really liked Until Dawn.
Oh, yes. Good one. Such a fun one.
I genuinely had such a fun time playing that game.
I watched one of those too.
Best movie too.
Like, yeah. Of that genre. The movie is,
I haven't seen,
such
the movie.
A weird one. I saw, I didn't, it. It's fucking
bother.
Weird. I saw it with the people that we that played Until Dawn with, because they were like, hey, it's a movie. And I'm like, yeah, fuck it, let's throw it on. It's weird. It's not that at all, but.
Yeah.
It's entertaining enough. Funny, yeah. But go on, sorry.
Until I was going to say, also, amazing. Like, The Quarry, I haven't played. I watched someone else play that one.
That one's good, but...
Very cool, but I like Until Dawn a lot. So, that'd probably take it for my horror game experience, because I would say a lot of the horror games I've played are all very story less action.
You know, it's funny, my friends were talking about doing a trip to Tahoe, and I was thinking, like, oh, it would be fucking great to, like, during the snow. So I was like, it would be great to bring Until Dawn and play that there. Like, that would be perfect.
That's true. But oh, man.
That's not the group of friends for it, unfortunately. But, yeah.
That'd be spooky. Yeah. What about you, Don?
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, like, what Silent do I look Hill? For in a horror? I mean, yeah, it'd probably be one of the Silent Hills. I mean, realistically, it'd probably be P.T.
Ooh.
That was crazy.
Because that's like the one thing, it's like an hour long. I've showed as many people as I physically could just because I loved how, like, and that's also like, I like, my favorite horror games are the ones that actually scare me. I also like whether that's through resource management or just like hordes of zombies or something or creatures or whatever, or just like generally being scary. Like the original OG Silent Hill 1, like growing up, like I remember playing that and that actually scaring the hell out of me, and like I could only play it in small chunks because I would just be so scared.
Oh,
and
my
like
God, yeah,
the thing that, because I played it when I was in high school, so it was like, you know, way after like graphics were like, I think we were at PS3 already, so but the graphics being what they were actually made it more creepy, because you're like, and you can't decipher what I'm looking at. There's like the more unknown. They really did it, like, and I don't see this enough anymore either, is they used a lot of, like, I guess the, like, fog, you know, to kind of hide things, because, like, at the time, it was like, we need to load shit, like,
right,
you know, like, but there was such darkness and fog that you generally can't see more than, like, a few feet in any direction, like,
at, probably for the took a lot. Game. Probably and, took a lot of load off of the game, so they could only have to render stuff in that's already really close.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's just, I'm surprised that most games don't do that. Like, none of them really do that, like, to that degree at least, like, anymore. I'm actually super stoked for Silent Hill F, which is out next week at the time of recording.
Silent Hill F.
Yeah. Silent Hill F?
That one's sweet.
Silent Hill.
Silent Hill.
Yeah. Oh, is that next nice. Week, really?
Sylph. Yep.
God damn.
Yep.
Yeah, you play as a little Japanese girl.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, looks cool. I've heard good things. So I know, like, Chronos came out too, I think, is like the one from the guys that remade Silent Hill 2 made a different game, but I was like, I'll get to that eventually. Oh. I don't know, I need to see some reviews first, but I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Next one that I want to talk about is RPGs. So RPGs is a pretty big genre now. I feel like it's been done in a lot of different ways, really? Especially considering all the different styles of JRPGs and Western RPGs. So for y'all, what do you think is like the biggest example of an RPG you would sit down and play?
I mean, right off the bat, it's Baldur's Gate 3 for me. It's got everything you need, everything that could introduce someone into
it's so crazy
into game. Every other kind of RPG, and even tabletop RPGs. You got character customization, you got so much different dialogue options and choices to make, you know, it's so what is it called when you're really invested?
Immersive.
It's so immersive. And yeah, I mean, I put like 400 hours into that game. Incredible stuff.
Yeah. Hold on. I want to go check what my
actual hours.
What my Steam is hours are at for that right now. Because it's still not an insane amount. Like, there's people who have played games a lot more than I've played that. That's for sure. I know people who have put insane amount of hours into games, but I'm just going to check real quick for Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, I think Dragon Quest was really cool. I think that was made by, what was it, Akira Toriyama? Dragon Ball?
He did the art. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really fun one. And then, you know, you got your Mega Man Battle Network. That's technically an RPG.
Oh, yeah.
It's a trading card JRPG battle sim, and the Pokemons and RPG. Oh man,
speaking of which, you know what I'm playing right now on my phone? I'm playing the original Game Boy Color Pokemon trading card game.
Oh, nice.
Oh, such a good little game.
Yeah.
Weird. Oh, wow. I'm surprised you're playing the old one.
Oh, yeah. The old one's so... I mean, I think...
This is funny.
I think they only made one.
They made two?
Well, there's like new ones, though, too, now.
There's the app.
Yeah. Isn't there like you can actually battle on it and shit, too?
They made, you can. But it's a simplified version of the TCG.
Card. They made two TCGs for the Game Boy. Yeah.
Oh, there's two of them?
Yeah. I think the second one has... I've never
played the second.
You could walk around, you get a sprite that you could... It looks like... You get an overworld.
Usually in the first one.
Oh. I remember.
Yeah, in the first one you have a little map that you just go to the different gyms, and you have a little sprite that walks around inside the card clubs. Sorry, not gyms.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to get badges. So,
but at the card club, not the gym.
Yeah, okay. It feels like the game feels like you're playing the original like beginning of Yu-Gi-Oh!
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Where it's just like the card Yu-Gi's just in a card club and the different card clubs go and duel each other, and it's like that's how it feels. Alright. So what about you, Della?
RPGs. Yeah, I was like RPGs, I'm not that's like the least like the older I've gotten, the less I've been interested in like slower paced games like RPGs.
Yep.
So I've been way more into like and things I can pick up and put down and then just like all right, cool, that was it, or you know.
Sure.
But I think one of my favorites, haven't played in like for a long time, but it would be Earthbound.
Oh.
I think it's just very, at the time especially, it was like so unique. I mean, now there's like Undertale and the other Delta somethings.
Delta Rune.
I haven't played. Yeah, which I believe those are like inspired by the Earthbound, but I just love that it's like you're just normal kids and like you're fighting like psychedelic shit and the music's very wonky and like cool at times, and just like a lot of like, and also just like there's horror stuff in it with like Gygas and like, just I don't know, it's like a very like some, I don't know why it makes me feel like it's like a nostalgic for summer kind of like these kids, like, you know, like, growing up doing something during summer break kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I think I probably played it over summer, too, I'm sure. Maybe that's why, but... Yeah, I think just Earthbound, because, I mean, there's Final Fantasy, Kingdom Hearts, all the other big ones.
Oh, yeah.
Like, outside of Earthbound, it's really just Pokemon, and then, like, I guess Fallout or something.
Oh, Fallout. No shit. Yeah, Fallout.
Fallout, yeah, New Vegas. Yeah.
I barely got into that. Couple of years ago,
when I fell out of it. I'm just kidding.
I still. A lot of people don't like it, but I still really like Fallout 4. I played a lot. I played that a lot.
That's a good one. They all have their strengths and weaknesses. That one's just the strongest,
exactly.
Gameplay wise, I feel.
I think so. RPGs is hard for me because Pokemon is like almost, it's almost its own separate game category for
it's
me.
It's a monster catching
where
game.
Where it's just like,
that's its own genre.
It's a monster catching game. Yeah, I would say so. At this point, now that there's so many people who are trying to get in on it with Pal World and stuff, it really is its own genre.
Did you hear about them patenting?
I did. It's a very
Nintendo patent. It's so
a lot of people. It's interesting because like, it's not that I'm like for it or anything, but a lot of people like misrepresent it when they like report on it on TikTok and stuff, and they like they present it as if they've got a patent on all summoning monsters to make them fight games, which is not true. There's like a specific combination of usages of the characters and all this stuff that they has to come together to officially say you're encroaching on their patent. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it still is shitty that people are going to have to limit their creativity and their game making because of this.
Patents are never,
I think that's still dumb, but it's at least it's not as bad as people have been saying, where people are like saying, like Pokemon just made it like a illegal copyright law first to make a monster catching game that where people fight, where you make them fight.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not true.
At least it's,
I mean, the way I'd heard it too was that it's like stuff like Dark Souls can't even have, like, because you can summon a person. Like, it was vague, what I'd heard, at least. Not that, like, they would go after them, but it's just, like, that's, like, yeah, but you have the patent, and, like, how do we trust you? Like, how, you know, you say that now.
Yes. You know, that's the biggest thing, is that when this finally actually comes to a court case, we're going to find out if any of it's actually usable, because that's because of the way patents work. They don't do anything on their own. They don't prevent anybody from doing anything. They just make it so that it can give you grounds to sue them. So it really just is going
to... And then you have to argue, is this... Is it encroaching, or is it just something?
It would be,
and then
it would be similar to, like, the WB holding on to the Nemesis patent, right?
Yeah,
terrible.
Yeah, that's pretty much
that
it.
Still that sucks so much.
There was the one for, like, the longest time where, like, loading screens couldn't have video games. I think Namco did that one, which is funny because it finally went out of, like, patent or whatever, like, expired. But it's like, there's no loading screens these days now anyways.
Like, yeah, true.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
But yeah, other than, because Pokemon has its own genre to me, I have to say for RPG, it's hard, but I think I'm probably going to say Skyrim. Even though I have 860 hours in Baldur's Gate 3,
nice.
Even so, I still think I have more hours of Skyrim total, and it's the only game that I've bought on three different separate consoles. Nice. Including computer. So two consoles and a computer. So it's like the only game I've ever thought was worth it, to the point where I would purchase it multiple times just to keep playing the same game on the new system. It's nice. Just what a gem, just what an absolute, and the amount of, like, just, like, also jokes, memes, and internet culture that kind of has spawned from Skyrim too.
Like, oh yeah,
granted, part of that's because they won't make a new game, but
well, no, they're making Elder Scrolls 6, you know, just gotta wait
supposedly,
like, 5 years
from a billion years. So Skyrim for sure.
Next category, sports games.
Pass.
Hey. No. Actually, let's do it. Sports games. Really,
Mario 3-on-3.
Mario.
Yes. Yes, 3-on-3 hoops.
Mario Strike.
Man, soccer.
Fucking. Yeah, there you go. See?
Is that a game?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. For That's SNES, awesome. I think. I mean, Mario Kart, if you count cart.
That's carting, not a, like, fucking sport. Jesus.
That's a driving game.
It's a racing game. Racing.
It's a racing game. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Sorry, I'm a racist. Jeez.
Hey, you never need to apologize for that, right?
Here's the thing. Because there are some good sporting games out there.
Are we actually talking about
NBA Jam? Mario Tennis.
Any of the Mario ones. Yes.
No, I, like, I, come on. You've oh, no, played I agree. A few sports with... games. I mean, yeah. I remember I played the original NBA 2K a lot on my Xbox. Just 2K the first time.
I love NFL Blitz. Back in the day, NBA Jam, I loved when they were more arcadey, and, well, also when they were, like, good.
Yeah. Oh, you know what was sick? Like, Backyard Baseball.
UFC.
I didn't play that one, but I'm sure.
UFC? Yeah.
That's fighting game.
You're right.
Yeah, it's kind of across. It's kind of across there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say both. I'm down to count it.
It's it's actually a real man sport right there.
It's real. It's not fake.
Exactly. But yeah, you know, Rocket League.
Yeah.
It's not a race. You're in a car, but it's not a race. Yeah. So it's not a racing game. It's a sport. If I've ever seen a sport, Rocket League is a sport.
Yeah, this is pod racing.
I think we should have real life Rocket League.
I think they do it. I've heard of people doing it.
No, we need rocket cars though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the only difference, is they aren't
not
flying up a cars. Sure.
Yeah, no, they need to be in rockets.
All right.
I mean, sure.
Next genre. Favorite educational game.
Yeah, okay. All right. So this one's hard.
I'll go first.
Pajama Mario Sam series.
Mario teaches typing and Math Blaster. I'm stealing those two.
That's a good one. I'm going to go with Putt-Putt. Putt-Putt is real solid.
Yeah, I was like Pajama Sam, same shit. I mean,
oh, yeah. Yep. Reader Rabbit. Oh, also Reader Rabbit, honorable mention.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Solid. Yeah.
Totally, yeah. Learned some sex stuff there.
All right, next genre.
And the original Brain Games for Nintendo DS.
That's the one I was trying to think, funny enough. I was literally like, what's the one? It's like...
Brain Age,
It's like, yeah, literally, I was thinking about it, but I just couldn't remember the names. Yeah. I just gave
Brain
up.
Age.
So funny. Nice. All
right. Next, let's do fighting game.
Okay.
Top of your fighting game genre.
I think I will go with, like, it's been a while since I've played fighting games, like, regularly. Again, because I've just been like, let me pick up something that I'm like, I can just, whatever, arcade. But I think my go-to would probably be Marvel vs. Capcom. Like, or if I could pick the whole collection, I'll pick that because it's like X-Men versus Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom, MVC 2 up to 3 even.
Like great. Any version of Marvel characters versus Capcom characters is solid.
They're just super fun. I love the art style of the originals especially.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just like, for the longest time, I think, like, I don't know, to me at least, it was like, oh shit, that's like the pinnacle of like fighting games. Like if you're good at that, you're like an actual professional gamer, like for fighting game, or you know, for the longest time for me at least. That's what I'll
Which go that's Hell, funny because yeah. I pick Mortal Kombat because I feel like it's easier to pick up.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, that's Mortal Kombat is that franchise in general. That's like a fighting series that I would pick up on my own and play on my free time. And then, you know, there's Smash Bros, which is a social. I haven't played that in years, but yeah, that was much more of a social fighting game. I didn't really play too much of that on my free time.
Not for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the way I play.
You're the last person I played with. Yeah,
Mortal Kombat was.
I'm more of an anti-social Smash player.
Yeah, the Mortal Kombat is like probably my second go-to for me. But yeah.
Well, obviously my answer is Super Smash Brothers. And that's a good one. Know, I've always been dog shit at actual fighting games. Actual, like, true side fighter games. Usually pretty ass at. But Smash, I take it's fun enough that I'm okay with losing, and that is what makes the difference for me with the other fighting games. It's the only fighting game I get good at because it's fun enough that I was okay losing until I got good. So all the other fighting games, I feel so unequivocally overpowered and lost the whole time because I can't remember button combos. I put the controller down and I'm like, nope, I think I'm out.
yeah. Smash Melee especially was like, I think the first game I ever did an all-nighter for, or like the first time I ever did an all-nighter in general.
Nice. All right, next, like with my cousin, next genre, so. Games that you've done all-nighters for.
Ooh, Smash
Bros. Mine, Melee.
Halo.
Mine was...
Super Smash Brothers Brawl, Subspace Emissary.
Arkham City. I beat that in one sitting because I think it came out on my birthday. And I called that a school. But yeah, it was like...
You called that a school.
Oh yeah, called that a work.
That's funny.
Yeah, it took me like 8 or 9 hours. And then same thing for BioShock Infinite. Yeah. I played those games in one sitting. Yeah. Shit was awesome.
BioShock 2 for me was a one sitting game. Nice. Yeah. Whew.
Yeah, for me it was anything social, so again Smash Bros or Halo, because we would just be up, have food all night, just fucking
same my friends would spend the night and we would wait until the Black Ops Zombies DLC would come out, and it would be at like 3 or 5 a.m. And then we download it and then just play.
Hell yeah. When I did the Subspace Emissary for Brawl, I got Brawl, and then I think me and Viv did that together in one night.
Oh, nice.
I slept over at Viv's house and we we did the entire Subspace Emissary. So yeah. Fucking good.
Hell yeah.
I remember people complaining back then, but it's like I liked it actually. It was kind of fun to have like a story mode.
And it's like it had so many platforming sections, and it's like so nice because so like the vast majority of the characters in like maybe not vast majority, but a lot of them originally were all platforming characters. And like that was kind of the original like vibe to it, and it was like the outliers were usually non-platformers. And I think the ratio did probably eventually shift to now it being kind of spread out, but still
though, it's I mean it is like the game itself is a platform
fighter.
Like I think it was one of those things where like I liked it, I wish it was just tighter. I do wish it had like the enemies you fought were the enemies of like Bowser, like Koopas and the Kremlins from Donkey Kong, you know, like
Metroids. Instead of new Smash villains.
That was my one thing at the time, being like, I wish it was like, I don't know, like the Legion of Doom, but for Nintendo or some shit, or something like the Justice League.
That'd be tight.
Just, like Smash, and that's what they're like story wise. But it was cool though. I liked it regardless.
Yeah. Ah, oh, man, good memos. All right, next genre. I would have to say, what was the other one? Oh, I was going to say, like, narrative games. So these are your Heavy Rain, Telltale.
Until Dawn.
Until Dawn. I would say Baldur's Gate 3 can kind of also go in this a little bit. It has the combat, too, but it's also, like, so choice heavy. I guess not. This was, like, it's mostly really the games that are where, like, the two elements are pretty much making choices in the story and then like quick time entry.
Like, would you count point and clicks in this category too? Or maybe depending on.
Yeah, I probably would. Like,
because I was like, most of them, I feel like they're like puzzle games, I guess. But like a lot of them, not all of them have choices though. Either as other things. That's why I was not sure.
This would also include like LA Noir, Black Sad and like detective games.
I think either The Wolf Among Us. I mean, like you said, the Telltale stuff. So I'm thinking either Wolf Among Us or The Walking Dead season one. Because I think I never played the second one, but yeah, both of those were just. The Walking Dead was a very very sad one, and Wolf Among Us was really a really good mystery.
I loved The Wolf Among Us. Honestly, that was such a good playthrough when I did that. I did Detroit Become Human. Y'all know I love that game. Game's so fire. Oh man,
if there was a Smash Bros of Nate, that would be one of that'd be the Luigi.
Hell yeah. Oh my god, Marcus from Detroit Become Human. That'd be so sick.
Versus like MTG character versus Pokemon.
he would represent QuickTime Entry games, and like all of his stuff somehow would be like QuickTime Entry based. I don't know. For me, Detroit Become Human is probably the pinnacle of this genre. I will say honorable mention specifically to the Telltale for Game of Thrones for me. Loved that one. They did, and it was very good. And I in my opinion, it was like I played that game and I was like, I was starving for more. I was like, this needs to be a whole series. Like making using the Game of Thrones universe to make like a heavy choice making game on like managing your house and like the politics and stuff like that. Like, they absolutely should have made a whole, like, someone should have made a whole Game of Thrones game like that. That's just, like, the Telltale game. Because, sheesh. Mm-hmm. It works so well for, I guess, what's the word? Like backstabbing and stuff like that. Like, like, political... maneuvering intrigue, thank you, political intrigue.
I haven't played any of the Telltale games, but it reminds me of the Batman one. I remember watching and that being interesting. It looked interesting. like the choices you can do.
I tried playing. There's a Batman. Yeah, I tried playing the Batman one. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the headspace, but I just couldn't get into it at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only one I haven't played.
Well, I got work to do. I'm off now.
Yeah, I remember one year for Christmas, I asked my dad, I was like, just get me the Telltale Collection. And it was like a collection of five of them all in one big box. And I was like, hell yeah, perfect gift. He was like, that's all you're getting. And I was like, don't care. That's perfect.
I think shout out to the Minecraft one where you can beat it without doing anything.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just kidding. No, just as a super best friend cast back in the day played it. And they literally, like, I think put the controller down and just watched it. And you'd get hurt in the game, but then you would just keep going. Like, someone would inevitably still save you or something. So the story would just keep going. Like, it was like a movie at that point. A bad movie at that point.
See, that's why Detroit Become Human so good. You let your character die, they die, and then they go, oh, sorry, you only have two characters now out of the three. Yeah. Oh, you let another one die? Oh, you only have one character now. Good luck.
I will say the first one I played was Heavy Rain. Love that one.
Sure.
That's like, yeah, Jason.
Jason.
That, Until Dawn, those are probably like top two for that. PT, if that counts.
Do you... I don't know if that counts. Are you genre blind, Dala?
Yeah,
I don't see genre.
Yeah, you're right.
There's different endings in PT like this.
Kinda. Point and click wise, I'd probably go with Beneath the Still Sky.
Ooh, I've not played that.
Yeah, it's point and click. It was drawn from like the 90s or whatever. It's drawn by the guy that did Watchmen. It's very much like Blade Runner, but like not Blade Runner. It's like another cyberpunk-y dystopian future. It was fun.
Nice. Okay. Puzzle games. PT. I think this is the last one I had prepared.
Probably PT. So,
it's a puzzle. You gotta beat sense. It.
Okay, hold on.
I'm joking.
Non-PT game. You're like, shooter, PT. Dude. Adventure, PT. RPG, PT.
Racist games? PT. Just kidding. Sorry, racing, I meant. Racing.
No. There you go.
It's a puzzle.
Yep, puzzle games.
So... I can go straight off the bat. Baba Is You is amazing.
Oh, God, that's such a good game.
It's because I love, I don't know.
Infuriating.
But it's like when you get it, you feel so, or I don't know about you, but I feel so smart when I am able to figure one out. And I could sit there for an hour, like on one puzzle and like not get tired or all, like I'll put it away and then I'll get, I always... The only game I've been playing on my Switch for the past like year is Baba Is You every now and then, like straight up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, let me like break out the Baba Is You and give it another crack at that, you know.
I miss and it. Rightfully so. That game is so fun and interesting, and it's so fresh. I feel like it's such like a
About
intuitive learning. The whole game is about intuitive learning structures and how 100%. To like. How to lead.
How to code.
To conclusion. how to code. Yeah, true.
It's literally how to code. Like, it's teaching you how to, in a sense. I do need to play. I haven't played it, but there's like a spin-off sequel where he's in a mech suit that's like Into the Breach style, I believe. But it's also Into the Breach mixed with Baba Is You.
That's so crazy.
I still need to play it, though. But yeah, that's my... Definitely my go-to, like I said. It's the only thing I've been playing on my Switch.
I don't play too many puzzle games or games just that are strictly puzzle games, strictly rhythm games, stuff like that. Like,
right.
But I think that's because I get my fix from the horror kind of genre.
Resident Evil.
So many Silent Hill. Yeah. You have to.
I think puzzles is key for a lot of the survival horror games.
So far, Silent Hill has much more intricate puzzles.
Oh, yeah. There's a piano puzzle in the first Silent Hill I love.
Like, you have to, like, play the right tune?
Yeah, it gives you, like, a poem that's, like... So it's a piano, so it's black and white keys. So it gives you a poem about birds flying, and each bird is either black or white type of bird. So you have to know if the bird is a crow or a raven, it's probably a black key. But if it's a dove, it's, like, a white key. And then it's the raven flew to in front of, you know, so it's like I love cool. the like reasoning you have to do there.
I like that a lot. I'd say for me, Portal 2 is Portal in general.
Yeah.
Is a big one. Really like that game. And also honorable mentions to A of all, Pokemon Puzzle League. It was just like Bejeweled-esque N64 like falling block. Kind of Tetris-y.
It's just another game, which is with Pokemon. Yeah.
It's just kind of Tetris, but there's Pokemon. You get to choose which type of Pokemon you use for your battle, and that will determine what type of blocks you drop on the other person when you get combos. And, type effectiveness, matters. So.
Yeah. So it's a little more, intricate.
Yeah, it's got a little Pokemon flair. Okay, it's honorable mention number one. Honorable mention number two is The Witness. Played it on my PS4. Very good game. Really hard to not get sleepy while playing because they just play calm, soothing music the entire time. And the whole game's thing is that you don't come into contact with people. It's just stuff. And it's just
Mist.
Yeah, it was so hard to get through because even though it was genuinely great puzzles and super interesting, I nodded off. It was
fair.
Too comfy, too cozy gaming.
I feel that.
You know, I'm...
All right, I think that was all the genres I had.
Nodding off right now.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think it's time we tuck our sleepy Gib into bed.
Mm-hmm.
And get a warm glass of milk. Ooh. and then accidentally look at your phone for too long and stay up until 2 a.m.
Let's do some plugs instead.
Plain Baba is you.
Let's do some plugs instead, yeah.
Gibbledang. That's it.
Boom.
Follow us at No Dumb Idea on Instagram, YouTube, and anywhere else you get podcasts. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, send it to all your friends and enemies alike.
Especially your enemies.
Yeah, let it play it while they sleep without them knowing, sneak into their house, and that way it works its way into their dreams.
Yeah.
And they're forced to listen to us out of curiosity.
I'd say play this podcast while you play Baba Is You. It'll help.
It'll help. It will definitely it'll help you ignore what we're saying.
It does off.
In a way.
To have Baba Is You happening.
Yeah, yeah. It'll help in a way. Whatever way you need, it will help.
All right. Good night, y'all.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thank you for listening to No Dumb Idea.